Do you enjoy pain?
The film.
Don't hurt.
I still would like to discuss the whether or not it's a reboot thing, because I feel like people are foggy on that.
Well, that could come up in today's show.
That's what I'm saying.
What do you know? How topical would that be?
That would be great.
It wouldn't it? Welcome to episode 7 of Film Don't Hurt, the podcast where we talk about stuff, right?
Sometimes.
I'm Dylan Fields of Man I Love Films, which can be found at manilovefilms.com.
I am also the co-founder of manilovefilms.com. Did you say you're a co-founder? You are a co-founder. And I am also the host of the MILFcast. I'm Kai Parker.
I figure people kind of know it at this point.
Yeah, but it's always self-promote. Dylan, got to self-promote. Have you listened to MILFcast lately? It's a great show. Hey.
And there might be new listeners. So, hey, Dylan Fields and Kai Parker are the co-founders of Man I Love Films.
Yeah, or as we like to call him, Sonny D.
I don't know what that's a reference to, but okay, let's move along. Today's episode, we are going to take a look. I feel like we've been getting a little deep lately. not just metaphorically, we were also talking about deep sea last time. So anyway, I wanted to kind of lighten the mood. We're not going to do a film review, of course, but I wanted to talk to Kai about the James Bond franchise, which is a really topical thing to talk about, considering a film came out last year, and there won't be one for years from now, but I don't know. We don't live and die by those schedules. We can talk about things whenever we want. Kai seems really thrilled to talk about this. Why don't you get that out of your system right now?
Oh, I just threw my mouth a little bit. We should say we're not big Bond heads.
Well, are we or aren't we? No, not like some. No. I've never been, and this is where I wanted to start with you, which is what is your familiarity with the series? Of course, you're familiar, but how familiar, and what are your feelings on it? Which you've kind of tipped your hand, but go ahead and give us the little rundown.
Poor. They're poor, and I don't know what it is. It's this glaring, you know, we're pretty well versed in film, and it's this glaring omission on my part, and part of it is... Part of it is a little bit of a lack of interest. I mean, we've discussed on other podcasts and other worlds on Twitter and things. People that know us know that we're not big older film fans. I mean, my cut is kind of 1970, pretty much 1980. you know what I mean?
Soon it's going to be 1990. You're going to be like Star Wars, Raiders, tough shit.
No. I got the 80s will always be in there. But I mean, like going back is going back, and the Bond franchise is a little bit played out when I came to know it as a child. So, like, the idea of going back, it just seems very cliche, and I'm not shitting on it. I there is a part of me that at some point wants to go back and revisit the entire franchise. But as far as my knowledge of the franchise, I am well-versed in the modern reboot of the franchise, which involves the Daniel Craig films, the trilogy so far.
We're going to get to that later.
Yes, we will. And outside of that, it is pretty much the Bond that I grew up with, which is Timothy Dalton. And I've seen all the Timothy Dalton movies. He is my Bond. I know everyone that loves Bond thinks that's ridiculous, but he's my Bond. He's the one my parents took me to see him as Bond as a kid in the theater. And I have a little bit of knowledge of the Pierce Brosnan. I think I've seen GoldenEye all the way through. I've seen most of Die Another Day. I don't even know how many he's done. But, I mean, that's pretty much it. What about you?
Well, real quick. So, the Living Daylights was your first one that you can recall seeing? You didn't
see
any?
I mix them up. See, that's the other thing with Bond. I wish they'd just number them. It'd make it a lot easier. I always mix them up. What did Dalton do? Did he do 2 or 3?
Dalton did 2. He did the Living Daylights first and then License to Kill.
Okay. There was the one with the sharks and the one with the cellist, right?
License to Kill is the one with the sharks.
Okay, License to Kill was the first one I saw in theaters.
You didn't see any Connery or Moore ones growing up?
I've never seen a Connery. I don't know that I'll ever see a Lazenby. I have never seen a Moore. I've seen pieces, and I'm aware of, being that you and I are film guys, I think you just, like, we're very good at film trivia, so that, like, even if we don't know or haven't seen the film, we can kind of like pick shit out. And I think I'm pretty good in that regard. Like I'm aware of some of the references with Austin Powers and shit like that. You know what I mean? It's not lost on me. But no, I've never sat down and watched any of those.
Okay. Let's see. I don't know what my first one was. I know that I saw something with Roger Moore first. I know I watched A View to a Kill as a kid. It came out in 1985, so I was probably 7 or 8, maybe even 9 by the time I saw it. I'm sure I've seen parts of earlier ones, probably some of the terrible ones, like Moonraker. To be honest, I don't know how well I can really tell you off the top of my head which ones are supposed to be the terrible ones or not.
Yeah.
But I mean, to a certain extent, I could, because the other reason I wanted to talk about this is because I am doing that thing. I am going through them. They have all, I think, every one of the canon ones, perhaps excluding Lazenby and anything with Craig, has been showing pretty much all throughout September, I believe, on the Stars or Encore series of channels.
Yes, and that's the only reason I've had like an inkling to even try it. And like, the funny thing is, I believe Connery did, like, I'm kind of with you. Connery did one that was kind of out of continuity, correct?
Yeah, but that's non-canon.
That's non-canon. Okay.
Yeah.
And A View to Kill, you mentioned A View to a Kill. Is that the one with Walken and the girl, girl with the flat top?
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones.
Which is looked upon today as one of the worst ones ever.
Okay, but I think I've seen that one.
You probably have, because it was right in our age range pretty much.
Yes.
And I probably liked it a lot.
Okay,
back
I'm younger
then.
Than you.
I know, but, well, I mean, is it really meant for a 7 or 8 year old anyway? You'd think maybe 10 to 12.
I'm a bad parent, but yes.
No, I meant myself.
Oh, okay.
Should I have been watching it at 7 or 8?
Probably not.
Maybe, or would I get it? Anyway, that's not the point. So it's been showing on those channels, and I DVR'd like all of them. I might have missed out on a couple, and I've been going through them. I'm currently on number 3, which is Goldfinger, which is supposed to be one of the best ones in the series. And at first I was just... I saw them and I was like, I'm going to tape a few of these. I went and looked at some lists to see which ones were the better ones. And I was like, I'll pick out the good ones and I'll try and watch those. Because I have a lot of blind spots. Like I said, I've seen View to Kill, probably some of the other more ones. And I watched License to Kill in the last year for another podcast. I'd seen GoldenEye plenty of times. And, of course, I've seen all the Craig ones. Bits and pieces of others, perhaps. I don't think I've seen a full one. A full viewing of any of the other Brosnan ones, though, which is kind of odd, given, you know,
our ages. Is. It, especially, the like, not only was... Okay, when they cast, even before I was into film, when they cast Pierce Brosnan as James Bond, I thought, perfect.
Well, yeah, everybody wanted him to be James Bond before Dalton got it, because he was in Remington Steele, and everyone thought he would be the perfect Bond, but yada, 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 he couldn't and didn't. And
true, but there was also the side fact of GoldenEye was this, like, I've never been a huge video game guy. I'm one of these guys that I'll go, once a year, I'll find a game I like. This last year was Arkham Asylum. I bought it, I played it, I'm done for another year. I'll find another one next year, done. GoldenEye was, like, a big thing for people like me that went to high school in the 90s.
Absolutely.
It was the first person shooter, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't the first, but it kind of revolutionized it. And I was actually just reading up on this the other day. It was one of the first or most popular first person shooters on a console. That was the big deal about GoldenEye. The other ones were all PC based things like Doom and what's the Franken? I can't think of the name of it right now.
Or Diablo or something like that.
Yeah, they're killing Nazis. Yeah, Duke Nukem, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So GoldenEye brought it to the consoles and it was a big deal and it was a really good game. I played it the shit out of it in 1997 or whenever.
I can never
it came
get
out.
The controls right.
And it was also, you know, all the first-person shooters since then have kind of taken from GoldenEye. So it was a big deal, not only from the film aspect. The space between License to Kill and GoldenEye was the biggest gap between any Bonds ever. So that was, it was a major reboot, perhaps, of the series. It was a major coming back to the series. They got the guy they wanted for a long time. He was young, you know, popular, and then the video game came out. So it ushered in a whole new generation of fans, et cetera, et cetera. Short story long, I was doing a few of them, and then I was like, you know what, I'm going to try and do them all. And I'm not sure I've got them all recorded, but I think I got most of them. So I think I'm going to go through them all.
Good. You could buy the Blu-ray collection for like $900.
Oh, that sounds like a bargain, yeah.
Yeah, totally. On Amazon, you might get it for $875.
I'll do The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and even Lazenby's if it's on there.
You're saving Lazenby for last, though, be honest.
No, I'm going to do them in order if I can.
Oh, no, I'd skip Lazenby.
Including the non-canon Connery one, which is Never Say Never Again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Though I don't think the old Casino Royale was an option, but I don't think I'm going to miss that one too much either.
Do you think it's funny that it's Never Say Never Again, but they said it twice? Like, Never Say Never Again, never go. Sorry,
yes, Kai. Thank you very much. Of course, that also reminds me of one of my earlier, you know, I don't know if it's exposure, but real likings to the Bond franchise was courtesy of Trainspotting and Sick Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get that?
I've got a massage for money, but I...
Well, that, and there's a song on the soundtrack where he's just rifling through all the titles that Connery was in. Anyway, sidebar.
Yes. All right. Absolutely.
So we've established that you're not a tremendous fan. You might do what I'm doing in a few years since you're younger than me.
Yes, I have time.
Fair to say.
On my side.
Question for you is, what, as an insider or outsider, obviously you're more of an outsider, what do you suppose has kept the franchise afloat for 40 plus years?
I have no... The British? Is that a good answer?
No. Expand.
I don't know. He's the British Superman? He really is. Like, this is the biggest problem I've always had with Bond, and it's the same problem that I have with one of my homeboys, which is Superman, is that he's a little bit infallible, and to a certain extent, that makes him not interesting to me. I don't know. The problem with Superman is he has all the power, so there's no way... Like, okay, disregarding the stupid green stone that they came up with to take away all his powers because they had to think of something. Superman is always going to win. You know that. Batman is fallible. He's a human. He doesn't have superpowers, things like that. Bond is, to a certain extent, to me, has always seemed that way. So I've never understood the allure. They give him a pen that shoots lasers and gum that blows up a window when chewed, and certainly at some point in the story, he's going to have to shoot a laser and blow up a window. And everything is just laid out ABC, and that has always been sort of, like, disinteresting to me. As far as the allure, I think it's that he is a badass pimp.
Yeah, playboy.
There's something slut. Very cool. Yeah, he's a total slut. But guys aren't sluts. They're fucking awesome. Girls are sluts. That's how it works. It's not fair. It's just the way the world works. If a guy sleeps with a bunch of girls, he's fucking awesome. If a girl does it, she's a slut. I think the allure is that he's that, you know, what's that famous saying of the guy that every guy wants to be and the guy that every girl
wants to
be
with. And yeah.
Yeah, so he's that guy.
He's, and it, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I have my dates exactly right, but actually, you know what, thinking back, this might not be right, but I was going to say that Playboy, the magazine, came out right around the same time, but I think it came out a little earlier than the films. I think Playboy came out in the mid to late 50s, though that is right about the time that the books were written. First film came out in 1962. So anyway, you get the whole swinging 60s baby, yeah. And I just, it must be that whole thing. Now, why it stayed around, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. Because I don't recall having heard this, but I was going to posit to you that the Bond franchise has either paved the way or will be the template for comic book films. In that every decade or so, they more or less reboot the franchise. You know, you get a new set of writers and directors, you get a new Bond, and you get a new mood or take on it. You know, Craig's Bond is moody, dark Bond, and you know, it's just gone. That's just been a sign of the times, and maybe that's what it is for a lot of these as well. It's just, okay, what's the sign of the times for this decade? So the more 70s Bonds are swinging disco Bonds, and now we get Dark Knight Rises Bond with Craig stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that that's going to happen with comic books? And comic book films, I mean.
Explain that question a little more.
Well,
in what regard?
You know, I can't think of too many big or popular comic book films until Superman came along. But starting from then on, we can look at that, and then we can look at Batman, the two biggest superheroes, and see that they're doing essentially the same thing that the Bond films have done. So let's look at Batman. We have an 89 film. They ran all through the 90s. And then just a few years later, we get a reboot. New actor, new director, new Batman. And Nolan has run his course. And obviously they're throwing him into the Man of Steel, which whatever about that. We're not going to talk about that still.
Oh, let's.
But you know that within 5-10 years, there's going to be a new origin story for Batman.
Yeah.
And what's to stop them from just doing this in perpetuity, like they've done for Bond, more or less?
There's nothing going to stop them, and they are going to do that, and I'll tell you why, because that's what lends itself to comic books, that's what comic books do. I will say that this is where Bond does kind of tie into comic books, in the fact that, I guess it'd be more appropriate to call it a serial. Yeah. Like, Bond feels older, serial feels like a better word. Like, you could almost compare it to, like, Indiana Jones. Like, if we were okay with someone other than Harrison Ford being Indiana Jones, I feel like Indiana Jones would be our Bond.
You're saying
Does that make sense?
I think you're saying that because they're self-contained stories, for the most part.
They're self-contained stories. There's not too much concern about continuity. That is the one thing with, like, comic books. I feel like they start and they stop and then they start over. Whereas Bond...
Yeah, it's not a perfect analogy because we've seen... All the thing with comic book films is to make trilogies, and they might make a new trilogy or whatever later on. But, yeah, they're not self-contained stories. But still, you can see the whole thing happening, and I see a strong connection between what they're doing with comic book films and what they've done with Bond films. And I just see that pattern repeating over and over and over again.
I see that correlation. I also see that Bond is, like... You have to admit that Bond, within the realm of, like, Hollywood and films, is a bit of an anomaly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're looking at a multi-decade franchise that never stopped. I guess... I suppose that's why Serial feels more appropriate to me.
Well, but that's also kind of what I'm saying is... It was an anomaly. It might still kind of be an anomaly, but is it going to be in 2 or 3 decades from now, where we're going to have a bunch of these things that, while they might not all be serialized like Bond is, you're going to see similar patterns?
No, but comic books are going to be the next version of Bond. Yes, yeah. I heard that. Yeah, absolutely. Because they're built on a wealth of existing properties, I guess, is the best way to put it.
They run out of the properties a long time ago.
Did they?
In terms of, yeah, adaptations of books.
Well, you mean as far as Bond?
Yeah. They're all original stories these days.
Oh, really?
Casino Royale? They might be borrowing, and I'm pretty sure that's an original story, too. It might be another adaptation of the book.
Casino Royale.
The first book was a Casino Royale. I couldn't tell you a thing about it, but... I don't know if the first Casino Royale film that's non-canon has more to do with the book than this one.
Hold on. The first Casino Royale was a spoof movie.
I understand.
Okay, so it's non-canon.
Well, I don't know if non-canon means, in this context, having to do with the book or having to do with the production company that has been making all of them.
That's a good question.
This is where we come off as idiots because, you know, there's people out there.
Someone's yelling at their radio or iPod right now, I'm sure. I would consider Never Say Never Again more canon than I would the original Casino Royale, in my opinion.
Yeah, Never Say Never Again is also a remake, pretty much, of Thunderball, I was reading the other day.
Really?
Really.
So interesting.
Anyway. Totally threw me off track. How dare you? Another question I had for you, though, might tie into what we were just talking about. It seems to me that the continual struggle of this series is, how can we keep everything the same while making it seem brand new every time out?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe this will come up again later. I was rewatching Casino Royale. I didn't get through it before this show because I wanted to check something.
Okay.
The only thing that needs to remain is a different musical artist doing the opening theme and Bond turning into the, like, what is it? I don't even know. That closing sniper shot at the beginning where he points the gun towards the audience and freezes. That's the only thing that needs to remain.
Wrong.
What else needs to remain?
Are you kidding? The fans would kill them. There's a whole Wikipedia page about motifs in the James Bond series, and it's really long, and because there's a shitload of them.
Hit me with the highlights.
Flirting with Moneypenny, receiving an assignment from M, technical briefing with Q, which has expanded to, at least in up through the Brosnan area, getting more and more ridiculous with all of the gadgets, the type of gun he uses, the car he drives...
Okay, I'll give you the Aston Martin.
There are certain characters that make cameos, I guess, Felix Leiter being the main one. The larger-than-life villain, the Bond girls. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Okay, but, like, okay, I don't count the Bond
gambling,
girls.
Gambling, the tuxedo, Bond, James Bond, shaken, not stirred. How far do you want me to go?
Okay, but, no, I don't want you to go any further. Those are character traits. Those are not going to change. I suppose I should reword it. Yes. Bond needs to still be Bond. Bond needs to flirt with women. Bond needs to be a loose cannon. Bond needs to wear a tux. He needs to shoot that gun. He needs to drive the Aston Martin. Those are character traits. Those are fine. What I don't need... Well, here's what I like about the new series. And we can discuss what the new series is at some point. I need to discuss that. It's going to come up. Is that they have kind of done a wink and nod to all that while completely disavowing it. Like I don't even know that he's asked for a martini shaken, not stirred yet. In Skyfall, he asked for a martini. She shakes it. He says, perfect.
Yeah.
Wink to the camera. Shit like that. Like, that is great. That is completely acknowledging the canon while saying, we're not doing that anymore. We're not going
to,
like...
Oh, but they are. They will, and they have to every time. They can wink all they want, and they can try and disguise it and hide it, but the moment...
What about M? You just said, like, one of the tropes is that he always has to get an assignment for M. They just killed M.
Oh, but there's a new M.
Spoiler alert.
Ray Fiennes. New M. That's what they do. They get new people.
Okay.
You know?
But I mean, these are archetypes. This is like Batman's family has to be killed in the alley by the muggers, and that establishes who he is. That's fine.
Don't you think that's a big part of your disinterest in it, is that they are slaves to these 12 or 20 or God knows how many things that must be wedged into every film, and they can disguise them all they want, but they have to be there?
No, because just like Batman Begins with Batman, or just like Casino Royale with Bond, they found a way to take a fresh take on that, and I'm fine. I'm enjoying this new trilogy, quadrilogy, whatever it is. It doesn't bother me. I enjoy that shit. We go because we want to see that shit. If he doesn't do that shit, he's not Bond. The problem is, I don't want the stupid shit. I don't want the fucking... I don't want the sharks with laser beams on their freaking head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want the guys on rollerblades and Arnold Schwarzenegger doing one-liners, no?
No, yes, maybe. Wait, what are we talking about? Now we're talking about Running Man.
No, we're talking about Batman and Robin.
Oh, I totally thought you were talking about Running Man.
No, I was saying when you take things to ridiculous extremes, that's what happens.
Yes, I want Batman Begins, I don't want Batman and Robin. I want Casino Royale. I don't want a name movie I haven't seen of Bond franchise yet.
But what about when it's the first or second one and they're not ridiculous yet, or as ridiculous?
But they are too. Like, we've gotten into this debate a long time ago. Like, there are movies that have been built up as the greatest films, but, like, we go into it with that anticipation, so it just becomes a thing. And it's sort of the same thing with Bond. It's like, yeah, at the time it probably wasn't a trope yet, so it was kind of interesting and cool. But we're going into it knowing that, so it's going to grate on us.
Well, probably even worse is going into it after having seen the Austin Powers films. Because,
oh, yes, which is just, like, brilliantly filleted.
Yeah. You know? You don't realize how much you... Maybe not missed, because I'm sure we've been aware of these things. Oh, yeah, he's supposed to be a mixing of this guy and this guy and this guy. But until you actually see them, it's kind of a trip.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, I think Austin Powers was actually based on... Well, clearly it makes callbacks to the Bond franchise, but I believe it was based off another movie, and I can't think of it. And starred... No. Yes. Yes. Do not know me when
gonna,
I can guess
gonna,
at you.
I'm going to know you because I've seen the Austin Powers films, and I've seen enough of the Bond films to say that it's all Bond. There might the Austin Powers character himself might be based on something else, probably Michael Caine, because that's kind of what he looks like.
No, it's
but
not.
Dr. Evil and all of that shit is straight out of the Bond films.
Oh my god, keep talking and I will tell you.
Okay, well, the other thing Dr. Evil's based on is Lorne Michaels, but I don't think that really counts.
No, that's a whole
the cat,
different...
the number two, the German villain, the
guy that throws his shoe.
The guy that throws his shoe. All that's straight from Bond, guys.
The outfit is not from Bond. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Dear Lord, ask me your next question. I will get back to you on this topic because I have the slowest computer in the universe.
Well, let's get into your Casino Royale bit. I'll let you kick it off.
I'll let you go first while I look this
okay,
up.
Okay, then I'll just tell you it's not a reboot.
Casino Royale is totally...
Well. According to the Wikipedia page, it is, but that's just like saying the Brosnan GoldenEye is a reboot and the first Connery one or the first Moore one is a reboot.
No.
What sets it apart from the other ones?
Okay, first of all, it's based on the first book. Okay. Secondly, the film opens with him earning his 00.
Okay.
The film starts with James Bond not yet being a 00. He is in a room waiting to kill a guy, and the guy says you have to have at least 2 kills to become a 00. They would have said a 00 if they wanted to kill me. Then it flashes back to him killing a dude, and then it cuts to him killing this guy and essentially earning his 00. 00 sounds like a double orgasm, which is like kind of cracking me up. But okay, so he earns his 00. Then we go through Quantum of Solace, which we're just going to ignore because that's shit. And then we get into Skyfall. And then we're just starting to meet Q and Moneypenny and all those things. They're starting from scratch. They're starting from the first book, new character, starting over. The argument here, the confusion in my opinion, is that A, they cast Judi Dench, who was M in the GoldenEye series.
Mm-hmm. Or
the Pierce Brosnan series.
Yeah.
And that... Oh, I had another one.
All the other tropes are there.
Yeah, well, all the other tropes are there. But it's going back to square one.
And that it's known as, like, the 21st film in the series, not the first film in a new series.
Okay, it can't be a prequel. If M dies in Skyfall, then she's not around for the Brosnan ones. Yet at the same time, it goes back in time to the beginning of Bond? Explain that to me.
I can't. When there's like 6 different guys playing the role, they're all reboots every time a new one comes on. Whether or not it goes further into his past, come on, it's a younger actor. What do you want?
Yeah, no. No, no, no. I'm calling it a full-on reboot. It's a full-on reboot.
If it's a full-on reboot, then it can't be called the 21st in the series. It's the first in a new series.
Well, this was the problem we had, and we keep talking about Batman. We had a Twitter discussion with someone that was essentially saying, is it a reboot or not? And I said, no, it would be like saying, or yes.
I think technically you're right. It's a reboot, but it's also a sequel. And that's, they're not mutually exclusive, and that's just how it is.
Okay, is the 2009 Star Trek a reboot sequel? That's a bad example, right? Because they go back in time.
Yeah, it's probably the same thing.
Yeah, okay. Is Batman Begins?
It's a straight reboot.
It's a straight reboot.
There's nothing carried over.
But it's the 5th Batman film.
It's technically 6, I think. Adam
what?
West.
No, we're not counting TV movies.
Why not?
Because they're TV movies. The movie I was thinking of was James Coburn, Our Man Flint.
Okay, so they took elements from that as well.
Absolutely, but it's completely based off of the Bond series. That's all.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. All the tropes are there, but like I believe Our Man Flint was a lot of the basis for it. Okay. Getting back to this. Casino Royale is a reboot.
It's a sequel as well.
Explain that.
It can be both.
How?
the same way that any of the others can be sequels. Because that's what you use the term sequel for.
Then you have to call Batman Begins a sequel.
So are you saying that Temple of Doom is not a sequel?
Temple of Doom is totally a sequel.
I don't know, you're confusing me. Because it goes back in time.
When it gets strict, it's a prequel.
Right. Is it a reboot?
No. I would argue that Casino Royale could be considered a prequel if not for the fact that M dies in Skyfall, which makes like the Pierce Brosnan shit not possible, so it can't be a prequel.
So really none of it makes sense. How do you know that he didn't lose his 007 status somewhere between the last Brosnan one and Casino Royale?
Because they never even hinted that. That's not what they're trying to imply.
Shit happens in between the films, man. Except for people aging.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Most ridiculous debate I've ever had.
Because I won. That's why you hate it. All right. Here's my question for you. Are you one of these guys? These fucking guys.
Forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. These fucking guys over here. Forget about it. That thinks that Bond is just a name.
That No, I'm not.
Okay. All these actors are playing the same guy, correct?
Yeah. It's not a code name.
Okay, there are dipshits out there that think that, like, a different guy comes in and assumes the name Bond.
It's an interesting theory, but no, I don't believe it.
It's a conspiracy theory.
No, it's just a fan thing that, you know, that's what people do when they run out of things to talk about. What else could... They're like, what does it mean? And how do they explain the unexplainable? How does the character last for 5 decades and never age or whatever? You know, so yeah, it's a clever little theory, but no, I don't think that's the intention of it at all. It's a serial, so like we've said. So
yes.
That explains why he doesn't age and why it's different actors and whatnot.
I wish we could find someone to accept as Indiana Jones other than Harrison Ford. That's the point.
Nathan Fillion!
Oh, please, Nathan Fillion. Oh, let me ask you, though, because we did address this, and I think everybody needs to answer this. Who is your Bond?
What do you mean, who's my Bond? Who's the one I like or identify with?
Well, I think right now everybody loves Daniel Craig, because I think he's done such a great job. But, I mean, like I mentioned, I grew up with Dalton, so Dalton has kind of always been my Bond. Well, who's yours?
I'm a man without a country, kind of.
You're like Connery of Sweden or Switzerland?
It probably would have been more, but it seems so stupid to say that. Because, yeah, up until recently, it's like how many... I hadn't seen 3 starring any of these people. I've seen the most Bonds... Well, it's soon to be Connery, but, you know, it was Craig before that. But I would never call him my Bond. I still don't know how much I like him as Bond. It's your whole take on the direction they've gone with it, the dark direction. And would you prefer they be kitschy and fun, or do you want them to be serious in Batman Begins? And
serious in Batman Begins? Are we really asking that question?
I'm not going to deny that the films are superior, but are they as much fun?
Yes, more so.
You can't speak to that because you haven't seen that many of them.
I can speak to it without having seen them.
I'm going to call Brosnan my Bond, even though I've only seen GoldenEye, and and all of his others are supposed to be somewhat terrible. Brosnan was the one when I was growing up that was supposed to be the prototypical Bond for our age, you know. But you know, the classicist says, "Of course, it's Connery."
Let's get into
That's
the race.
I'm a man without a country, like I said. All right, Lazenby.
Let's get in.
I just wanted to get all of them out there, Dalton.
Let's get into the race question.
Clive Owen. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, Clive Owen. I don't mind it. Although, I like the idea of Clive Owen post-Brosnan more than I like it post-Craig. But yeah. let's discuss the race issue, because on the back burner right now, the discussion is Idris Elba for Bond when Craig says he's done. That means Black Bond. Racists everywhere don't like it. How do you feel?
I'd be cool with it. You know what my biggest problem with that would be? I'm looking him up and I'm actually wrong. I figured he was too old, but he's probably not. He's 41. I kind of figured he was close to 50. He just seems older to me. So having said that, no, I don't have a problem with that at all. It'd be cool. Would he be my first choice? Probably not. Especially after watching the first couple Connery ones. You know who they should get? Who won't do it? Fassbender.
Yeah.
He would be a kick-ass Bond.
He would be a kick-ass Bond. Now, let me... Oh, my God. There's a giant motorcycle driving by my home right now. Sorry about that, listeners. Let me ask you this.
They probably wouldn't get him anyway because he's not...
His dick's
too
big?
No, he's like quasi... He was born in Germany.
Yeah, he could pull it off. Could you deal with the Chinese Bond?
I don't have an issue with the race of the Bond.
See, I do. I have a problem with the Chinese Bond.
Who would they get?
Jet Li.
Chow Yun-Fat?
Yes. You know, here's the thing. I don't mind a black Bond. I like the... I think Idris Elba is actually a very interesting choice. He's got the charisma, and I think
That I'm not sold on. I'm not 100% on the Idris Elba train as so many other people are.
Oh, I am. I think he's so underrated.
He's a badass and he's a great actor, but he kind of reminds me a lot of Craig in that he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of charisma.
You don't think Craig has charisma?
No, I've always called Craig charisma free. The dude is fucking charisma. Boring as shit.
Okay.
He's good at being brooding and dark and a badass, and he can make some quips. He was better in Skyfall, I thought, than the previous two in terms of that. But yeah, he does not strike me as terribly charismatic. Brosnan beats him to shit in that category.
Let me take charisma out of it. Let me go for sex appeal allure.
In regards to Elba?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Bond or Craig in general.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Elba's got it. I don't have a problem with that from pretty much any regard. I'm probably, strangely, would be more bothered by them not having a British Bond. Even though all the Brits take all the American heroes,
yeah.
I would probably still want to see a Brit play Bond.
Yeah, I think it's imperative.
It's weird. It shouldn't be that way, but it just kind of is.
Who do you think is the American version of Bond?
No idea off the top of my head.
Off the top of my head, I would say Ethan Hunt.
So, Tom Cruise?
Not Tom Cruise, Ethan Hunt. So they are two different people.
Peter Graves?
Peter Graves.
Did he play Ethan Hunt?
Oh my god.
It's been a while. Yeah, I mean, that's what they're definitely going for with that series. They would love to have 23 Mission Impossibles. That series
then
couldn't be much more Bondian, you know, short of the camp. It's always been kind of super serious. But,
might even be a better comparison than the Indiana Jones thing that I was thinking.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Except that there is some continuity there. They're not totally serials.
No.
But if you want to... I thought you were asking which actor.
No. I just meant, what is our movie character version?
Yeah, I would not dispute that at all.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I feel like we've covered everything that we know in our small universe of James Bond.
So if you're listening, tell us how wrong we are about 18 different things. But it's okay, we're learning, especially me. Kai, still closed-minded.
You can tweet us both at Man of the Films and tell us everything we've said wrong today.
Thus, it is time for our takeaways. Kai.
The British need a Superman. Dylan.
Fassbender's penis is too big to play blonde.
Or is it just big enough?
Oh, it's too big. I've seen Shame. Once again, I am Dylan Fields, co-founder of Man I Love Films. Where can it be found?
At www.manilovefilms.com. See you next time.
Okay. You're not going to say who you are?
I'm Kai.
Okay. Bye, Kai.
Bye.